Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, listeners all around the world. It is the Simcast, your weekly source for sim racing news, off-topic discussion, and general tomfoolery. It's US week, so hashtag Taco Thursday. I am, of course, Mr. Ben Williams, and joining me as ever, my ever-present co-pilot, Mr. Louis Satterley.
Hello, Ben, and you want to take a wild guess what's in my belly?
Could it be tacos?
It was tacos, yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I had nothing gets by pie. You, man. You had what?
I had pot pie.
Oh.
And for those who were confused, chicken pot pie, not some other kind of pot. I just had to, felt like I needed to clarify that for some reason.
My goodness. That is wonderful. Oh, gosh, it's pot pie season, too. It's starting to cool off down here, too. So.
Yeah. It actually frosted in my yard yesterday morning.
Well, we haven't gotten frost temperatures yet. We won't get those until about January, February.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Florida, actually, it's been actually rather unseasonably cool a lot lately. But it's just been real nice to walk outside too, because it's been so blistering hot for so long. And then you step outside, it's like, oh, hey.
Mm-hmm. I have family that is up in the Pocono area, and they're already talking about snow.
Oh, I think you were still talking about snow when we were close to July itself. Last year or this year,
it doesn't get that cold in July.
I said close to July, not in July itself, but close to it.
Yeah, weather is kind of weird in that area.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was taking a drink of tea. Anyway,
yeah. So talking about food, actually, there was a awesome meme I saw today because Thanksgiving is coming up for us.
Yes.
Speaking of, do we have to work it again this year?
I think we get away with it. Yeah, we're getting away with it.
Oh, finally. Thank you. no, but it was like the most Googled recipes or recipes of dishes to make for Thanksgiving. And one of them was literally the entire South is not even highlighted, but all the North, the Midwest, and the West Coast is all highlighted. One of them was Jell-O. Another one was green bean casserole. Mm. One was mac and cheese, and another one was mashed potatoes. Which, why do you need to Google a recipe for mashed potatoes? And the meme was, because the entire South was completely blank, and it shows Kevin Hart's like stare, like, what's going on out there? Stare.
Yeah.
It was him, and literally the caption right next to it was, the South. And he just...
my mother has this sweet potato pie recipe. Actually, correction, sweet potato souffle recipe that she's made every year for probably at least the last 15 years, something like that. But the one year she had dental surgery right before Thanksgiving, and she was, let's call it, heavily medicated when she made it. It was the best dough it's ever been, and we have no idea what she did to the recipe to change it. So every year, whenever we're
she's
getting
taking that one to the grave with her, isn't she?
Well, she doesn't know either. She can't remember because she was so high.
Oh, wow.
So every year in my family, we start joking about this time about, does anyone need a dental work and can make the souffle so that it's that good again? Yeah. But anyway, now that we've done our regulatory 5 minutes of nonsense, this is, of course, the Simcast, where we do occasionally talk about sim racing news.
Well, we got to break out of regulation, then.
Yeah. You can follow us.
I think we'll do that more and more the closer we get to the holiday. Anyway, sorry.
You can follow us on Twitter at Simcast Radio. Use the hashtag Simcast RSL if you want to submit questions, tell us your opinions, or maybe send us recipes for Thanksgiving. I don't know.
Send us your crazy recipes of you don't think you did anything different, but somehow it turned out better.
Yes. And of course, all four of us are members of the collective.
Not all four of us will be celebrating Thanksgiving in a couple of weeks either.
their loss. Anyway.
Exactly.
So now that Lewis has made me hungry in the first 5 minutes of the show.
You're welcome.
We actually
probably have the other listeners too.
Yeah, probably. We have a special report from Jordan.
Suddenly Jordan.
Yes, suddenly Jordan. Jordan has sat down and actually did a 17 minutes long review of NASCAR 21 Ignition to kind of share some of his thoughts. Louis, have you had a chance to touch this yet?
I have not, unfortunately. Originally, me and Jordan were supposed to do this review together.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got my weekends all mixed up, and actually, I was at a race this past weekend, the Classic 24 Hours at Daytona, which was a great, great deal of fun. And unfortunately, since I've been back from that, I have not had a chance at all to go near it. So, just been dealing with certain things around the house here and busy with work. So, unfortunately, I haven't even had a chance to listen through to Jordan's review just yet, actually. Yeah. So I'm going to be hearing this part for the first time as you, dear listener.
Yeah. Well, since I've already listened to it, I can tell you, you're not missing much. So I'll let Jordan explain. Take it away, Jordan.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Lewis. Yes, NASCAR 21 Ignition has launched. And if you are at all integrated into the sim racing community, you have likely heard many, many things about this game, and not many of them good. The thing I need to get off to say right away with this game, I don't want to beat around the bush with this at all, is that if you have not gotten this game and you are tempted, do not get this game in its current state. Either wait until it is heavily discounted, or wait until it has been developed and patched and missing features have been added. I cannot recommend the game in its current state. I do believe that this game is not as bad as it is being presented, and I'll get onto some of the good things later, because there are a number of things about this game that are very, very good. But first, I think it would be remiss of us not to talk about the glitches. I think it's an indictment of modern gaming where, you know, ever since the majority of players have had access to an internet connection where they can download post-release patches and content, games from across all manner of different genres now fall into the trap of releasing games that are unfinished. And, the number of glitches... you know, game crashes, etc., that have happened since launch, not just early access, but since launch as well, is quite unacceptable. But I do believe this isn't necessarily a motorsport game specific problem. It's just a problem with the game industry. I mean, when was the last time that a new franchise launched without significant issues? Cyberpunk immediately springs to mind, and I got burned by that one as well. But we shall move on for that, because glitches will be fixed. It's just a shame that we still have to deal with them. But they will be fixed, and motorsport games have already released like 4 patches to combat the most of them, so that's quite good. There are a couple of issues that I won't get into every issue that there is with this game right now, because we'd be here for the whole show. But there are a number of issues that I believe are the most critical issues that motorsport games need to work on, and might be working on already. By the time you've heard this, they might have patched some of these, so we can only hope. I'm speaking right now on the 31st, so a few days before you'll hear this. The game is developing all the time, so we'll have to just see how much of this is able to be fixed. The key issue for me... one of the key issues for me so far is the actual driving experience. Now, driving experience is probably the single most important thing about any sim racing title. I've tried this game both on wheel and a controller. On a controller, there is absolutely zero road surface feel. And what I mean by that is if the car breaks out from underneath you, you won't feel it. You won't catch it either. If you are racing on a pad, assists are absolutely mandatory, and I don't mean that the game won't let you turn them off. There are a couple of assists that the game won't let you turn off if you're on a pad, but traction control in my mind is absolutely mandatory. Even tracks where traction shouldn't be an issue, like Michigan for example, I've spun off of the corner exit basically every time, and that shouldn't be a thing, especially right at the start of a stint. Maybe at the end when your tires get warm, but not straight away. After some difficulties, I managed to get my wheel working. There are probably a multitude of different hoops you'll have to jump through to get your specific wheel to work, but for my wheel, for example, the Thrustmaster TSBC Racer, I found that I needed to unplug my shifter to get my wheel to work. So, not ideal, and we'll touch on to the second major issue away from driving experience in a minute. The driving experience on a wheel is much better than a controller, much better. There is a force feedback, it's not detailed, but it's there, and you can get a feeling for the car once it has stepped out. And as you're going through a corner, you can feel the forces on you, but you can't really feel when the car is going to step out like you can with the subtle cues that are seen in other games that you would feel through the wheel. There are vibrations for curbs and harder bumps on the wheel, not the controller. I would say that if you have access to a wheel and you're going to get this game, then you would be far better off going with a wheel than a controller. I do believe that Motorsport Games should be able to patch in some kind of road surface feel into the controller, but whether they do or not, I don't know. I hope they do, because a lot of people, the wider audience of this game, the more casual sim racing fans, are going to play this game on a controller, and they will find it likely very frustrating if they can't feel when their car is going to go around. On the subject of inputs, this is the second major issue for me. There is absolutely zero rebinding options in this game. Not for a controller, not for a wheel, not for anything. And that's a major problem. Every game, no matter the genre in 2021, should have rebinding options. Not just so that people can assign their wheels to navigate menus or to change pit settings. Or if you're on a controller, being able to shift, so being able to change which button is shift up and shift down. But also for accessibility purposes, in the sense that if somebody's not able to fully operate a pad or a wheel due to a disability or otherwise, you know, they are stuck to having to drive in a compromised way because you can't rebind any of the controls. And that's quite unforgivable in my mind that any game releases in 2021 without rebinding, let alone a racing game. The fact that I'm on a steering wheel and I have to have a keyboard or a controller handy so that I can navigate menus or change my options for pitting is just not on, really. And whilst I have a reason for why I think a lot of the things that are wrong with this game are the way they are, when it comes to rebinding, that shouldn't be affected by anything. That should just be a thing. My other major issue with this is a game that is obviously targeted at NASCAR Cup Series racing. However, there are a number of features of NASCAR Cup Series racing that are not in this game, most notably stages. If you're not a NASCAR fan, each race is broken up into three stages. There are cautions at the end of every stage and points are awarded, etc. That's the basics of it. That's not in this. And that is a major part of every NASCAR Cup Series race. I know in real life a lot of people don't like the stages, but if you're going to release a NASCAR game, you have to replicate the NASCAR experience. So, yeah, not having stages is a bad thing. The Daytona dual qualifying races aren't in the game. The All-Star race isn't in the game. Wet racing on road courses. I know that's relatively new for NASCAR in reality, but you know it would have been nice to see it in this game, especially with the graphics engine, because that's quite good. There are a number of NASCAR specific features that are in the game, such as the Pocono doubleheader grid invert, the open qualifying with knockout stages when it comes to road courses. That's in the game. And there are signs that a lot of the features that I mentioned, such as stages, were meant to be in the game. For example, when you're under caution in a race, the head-up display says you're in the final stage. So, and in career mode, if you look at the results, the championship table, there is a column for stage wins. So it seems as though these features were planned to be in the game, but for a reason I'll get onto shortly, they didn't make the cut in time, and maybe added post-launch. The AI are quite unpredictable. I've had some really good races with them, some really good races. I've also had some races where apparently I don't exist. Racing at road courses, for example, the AI have one line, really, and will drive through you if you're on it. Same with Bristol. they also have zero wreck avoidance skills. Cautions are quite inconsistent, so if a pile-up happens and there is no caution, the cars, when they come round again, will just plough straight into it. It's bloody hilarious, but it's not ideal, obviously. Multiplayer? The multiplayer experience is very scarce at the moment. There's no private lobbies, so leagues are literally impossible, and that's a big shame because there are quite a few big leagues out there that can't happen at the moment. I imagine private lobbies will be added post-launch, but you know, it's a shame that they aren't there as standard. There are only two hopper sets at the moment, two public lobby settings. In reality, there's only one because everybody goes for the Super Speedways one because they like crashing. People who intentionally crash into people, you aren't booted, you can't be kicked out if you stay stationary on the track or go backwards or if you cut corners. So, you know, trolls are free to do what they want. Which is a shame because the actual netcode of multiplayer is really, really good. When you get somebody competent that you're alongside, you can have a very decent race with them. So if motorsport games are able to add in more multiplayer functionality, the racing will be fantastic. And I look forward to that being a thing because that really needs to happen. Lastly, for the major problems, the spotter is terrible on this game. He'll repeat things incessantly one moment. It'll be like he's telling you his mixtape mid-race. Then he'll clear you when you're not clear, or just won't say anything when somebody gets alongside. So the spotter is, quite frankly, is as useful as a chocolate fire guard at the moment. So hopefully that's something that's patched very quickly. There are, as I mentioned, a couple of really good things about this game. Visually, the move to the Unreal Engine is a very good one. The game looks very good. I would say it's the best looking NASCAR game there is out there at the moment. The graphic settings do have one or two problems that maybe, you know, they aren't optimized very well, but if you tweak them just right, the game runs well and looks very good. All the tracks in the game are very believable. You go to tracks and the majority of them race how they should real life. At Homestead, for example, the top lane right against the wall, very much usable, really quick, just as you would expect in real life. Atlanta is bumpy as hell, for example. Daytona's drafting works pretty good, as does Talladega. The AI take advantage and respond to all of these differences. Yeah, the vast majority of the tracks in the game are constructed very well and are very accurate to real life, and that's excellent. Whilst it's hard to talk about the handling model, as I mentioned, due to the lack of road surface feel, the cars do appear to react to turns, bumps, in a much more believable way than the Heat series did. There are a couple of issues where the cars look a bit unstable and not quite believable, but in general, I would say the handling model is a major step forward. We just need a little bit more in the way of communication through the controller or wheel as to what the car is doing. But I would already say the driving experience is better than the Heat series, so that is a big plus. The paint booth in the game is really good. It's not as extensive as Forza or Gran Turismo, but it's definitely one of the best out there, so that's great. Career mode, for a game that's bare bones, the career mode isn't great. You know, there's no Xfinity or Truck Series, unlike the other Heat games, so that harms it in the way of progression, because you can't go from Trucks to Xfinity to Cup. What's more, when you get to in the Cup Series, because you're just there, you can sign for any team you like, and all the teams are completely equal cars, so you can win in whatever car you want on the grid, which kind of undoes the whole reputation system in the game. Because in my mind, you would have had a reputation system, so you start off in a bad team, you build a reputation so you can sign for the better teams, and then you can win. You can win in any car, so that's irrelevant. There's also a money system in the game, prize money. You can't spend money on anything, so that's pointless as well. There are a couple of good things, like older drivers retire in the career mode and are replaced by Xfinity and Truck Series drivers. That's cool, but yeah, career mode is very lacking, and there's next to no need for progression or replayability because you can win straight away. That's the main takeaways that I've had from the game so far. I do want to say that underneath all of the many problems this game has is a game that could easily be one of the best NASCAR games in recent years, quite comfortably so. What this game does well, it does very well. What this franchise and other subsequent motorsport game releases, such as the IndyCar, WEC, and BTCC games, are now totally dependent on is to what extent and how quickly the bugs are removed and the flaws resolved and the missing features are added. So far, the devs show every intention to get this game into a much better state than it is now. When it comes to missing features, a lot of them appear to have been planned but are missing. And the reason I believe this is likely due to the NASCAR contract. Now, NASCAR have a contract with their whoever is licensed for their video game that mandates that they release a game every year without fail. It very much feels like this game was rushed in order to get the game out before the end of the real season, and it barely managed to do that because it ends this weekend at Homestead. No, Phoenix. I don't know what year I'm in. but yeah, they barely managed to do that, so what was the point in the target? In my mind, it would have been much better off if the devs had not released a game in 2021, and if they'd had the extra time to work on the game for a mid-2022 release, they could have timed it well with the upcoming next-gen cars, which handle and race, or look to handle and race much differently from the current cars, which makes all the work made on making the 2021 cars accurate seem somewhat irrelevant, because they're going to be out of date in a couple of days' time. Most importantly, however, it would have given the devs time to iron out all the significant issues and add all of the content that they clearly wanted to add but didn't have the time. To not have stuff like stage racing is unforgivable for a NASCAR game. It just is. You know, it's a key fundamental part of NASCAR racing. So, yeah, in my mind, it would have been much better if they had targeted a mid-2022 release and you know, had the next-gen cars, had the Xfinity and Truck Series, if they were able to, if not, add them as post-release. I do believe that in a couple of months' time, Motorsport Games will have patched this game and added features to a point where it would have been acceptable if it had been that way now. However, they're now going to spend much of their time before the next game getting this game up to where it should have been at the start. And that's a massive shame. And I do want to say I don't fully blame Motorsport Games for that. I do think the NASCAR contract has significantly hampered this game. And I do hope that the people at NASCAR look at this as an example as to why they need to give their developers more freedom in terms of time scale, etc. But that's pretty much everything I can say about NASCAR 21 Ignition so far. I do want to briefly say that obviously everything I've said is relating to the PC version of the game. I'm recommending that people who have the PC version of the game or who want to get the PC version of the game wait. If you're on a console, I've heard it's even worse. So I would strongly recommend against getting this game on console. I would wait a long time to get it on PC as well. I do believe truly that Motorsport Games will get this game to a good standard. It's imperative for them, for the way that their next games are going to be received by the public in terms of IndyCar, WEC, BTCC. People will have negative opinions of those games before they have even released or even shown a trailer if they don't fix this game. It's too important for this game to be fixed for Motorsport Games to not do so. So I do think that in a couple of months, this game will be a lot better. And we will, of course, bring you every update we can when it happens with regards to the further development of this game. But yeah, that's everything I have to say about NASCAR 21 Ignition so far. I've rambled on a little bit, too much. So I shall very quickly hand back to Ben and Lewis.
Thank you, Jordan, for actually subjecting yourself to NASCAR 21 Ignition. So the rest
he did more than subject
to.
Himself on that one. He did everything he could to try to get it to work.
I mean, whenever you're playing a game, a racing game, that doesn't have reliable force feedback, doesn't give you any type of any information about what's happening with the car that you're currently racing with, it's hard to be nice about it.
It's hard to be nice about it, but at the same time, we kind of have to give the developers the benefit of the doubt here because they were
rushed, yes.
They were rushed incredibly on this, and then they wanted to use R-Factor 2's physics, which they did do, and unfortunately, I think it's because they were kind of, I'm willing to bet you anything, they were banking on the sale of Studio 397 going through in order to get this to work and be as far along as it was. Because otherwise, if that didn't happen, I don't think you would have had a game this year at all.
Probably not, no. I am going to be optimistic like Jordan was and say that they fixed those three things that he mentioned, then there's potential there, but it's still got a long way to go. And
yeah,
unfortunately, I can't, like, this close to the holidays, I can't, what's the word, rationalize, that's the word I want to use.
Yeah.
Rationalize spending $60-$70 on the game in its current state.
Well, because I was supposed to do the review with Jordan, and I was going to be, or I am looking forward to it, by the sounds of it, I mean, it's already been purchased, it's just sitting there for me, so by the sounds of it, Jordan was nice enough to give everybody a nice big test run and basically tell them to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
And see how it turns out.
Yeah.
And save your money if you haven't already bought it. If you've already bought it and haven't touched it, still wait a little bit.
Yeah. And like Jordan did say, they're already working on it. So by the time you get to it, Louis, maybe they've fixed some stuff.
I hope so. I know they made quite a few updates since they've released it. And here it is. I mean, thank God I didn't buy the early access, actually, because it's been a week now and I still have not been able to touch it at all.
Yeah. Oh, something, because Jordan pinged me during the playing of that, something that he forgot to mention was that the sound of the player's car can be too quiet, and there isn't actually an ability to adjust the sound of it as compared to the opponent cars. So, oh,
that's frustrating.
Yeah. Again, it can be something once it's out of early access, which is what I'm pretty much calling it where it is anyway.
All
right.
I was going to say, effectively, that's all you're getting is early access, right? I mean, granted, early access was Tuesday of last week, and the official release was a week ago, but effectively right now, it is an early access game. That's actually a perfect way to describe it, actually.
Yeah. But anyway, so, of course, we're probably going to be talking more about TASCAR 21 Ignition as it moves on.
You mean
on.
NASCAR? You said task. You said TASCAR, sir.
I'm planning the next calendar for Torah, so it's on my head. Anyway,
okay,
NASCAR,
whatever. That's $5 into the change jar, sir.
NASCAR 21 Ignition. I'm sure we'll be talking about this more as time goes on. But now for something related but completely different. Louis. Are you familiar with the game Roblox?
I am, actually.
Good, because I have no idea what it is. What is it?
Okay, so, effectively, it's online. It's 100% online based, but it's basically online Lego. Only it's an open world sort of thing, and it's very low tech. It's very 2D. I mean, there's no 3D effects. The graphics are way behind, but. Mm-hmm. The game itself, actually, if you sit down and play it, it can be very addictive. And there's different modes that you can play or what have you. There's like a capture the flag type game. There's just a free for all thing where they, you know, you just hop inside of any vehicle or whatever, or just roam around in a particular created city. So it's basically a low res, very early 1990s open world online game, and it's free to play. Absolutely 100% free to play.
Oh, okay. So I'm sure the listeners are probably wondering why we're talking about this. Well, apparently,
for some of them, I'm wondering why I know about it, because I only play racing games.
Yeah,
I have a nephew, and that's all he plays.
Mm-hmm. So apparently, and this was announced late last night, like. I think Jordan sent it to us like 6 o'clock US time, something like that. But so NASCAR has announced that the next gen race car will be joining Roblox starting tomorrow, November 5th. The new car will roll into life in Jailbreak, which apparently is a cops robber style virtual experience that is free to play, of course, with the rest of the Roblox platform. Jailbreak players will be able to select the NASCAR Next Gen race car and choose from several skins as they create their own custom designs in the virtual role playing experience.
Okay.
Yeah. This goes straight to the list of things that I didn't expect to be talking about this week. So
basically, it's going to be a getaway vehicle.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
I'm assuming that's going to be the case. This is right up there with NASCAR going to Rocket League, in my opinion.
It is, but and actually, I don't entirely understand because why they would do that. I mean, I understand you're trying to reach fans and everything, but at the same time, something like this doesn't make a lot of sense to me if you're trying to grab a friend or grab a fan.
Well, isn't Roblox, since you mentioned your nephew, isn't Roblox's target audience younger players?
It is younger players, but at the same time, there's no organized racing on Roblox. So literally, this is just get a race car and go blast around inside of a virtual city. So it's not so much a racing aspect of it. It's kind of like the whole Rocket League thing. I don't understand that because you're playing soccer with a car and you're not actually racing.
Well, there was an entire racing mode that was introduced with the F1 and NASCARs, apparently.
Oh, okay.
I literally have not played Rocket League since probably 2017. So, yeah.
I'm right there in the same boat with you. I haven't touched that in God knows how long because I was so terrible at it.
Apparently, also with this drop, several of the skins that would be able to be selected for the cars were developed by Roblox users.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I always enjoy it whenever any like gaming company goes through their community for something like this. Talking to you, Forza. So if you do play Roblox, the NASCAR Next Gen car will be available pretty much 24 hours from now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, 23 hours at this point.
I'll have to ask my nephew his opinion on it.
Yeah.
Doubt I'll get it, but I'll ask anyway.
All right. Well, if you do, please report back.
Absolutely. See what he has to say if he even gets a chance to play it.
Yeah. All right. Moving swiftly on. This is more of a consumer notification / advice portion of the show. I know you're getting that 2 weeks in a row. Try to steady yourself. iRacing has been notifying their customers a lot recently about potential scams that have been running, claiming to be the iRacing store. Apparently, there's users on Discord that are coming from a channel literally called iRacing Store that have been claiming that they are iRacing and telling people that if you give us your account, we'll give you more credits and things like that.
Yeah, it's obviously, like credits at a discount or something like that.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, that's...
that's sketchy.
Well, I mean, it's not only sketchy, but I mean, it's also, if you're going to be stupid, be smart about it. I mean, you literally name your channel iRacing Store. Because it's, that's going to make me, that doesn't raise a red flag to me. But I mean, anyway, I just keep my mouth shut before I say something offensive out
there. No, obviously, it's good that iRacing made everyone know about this.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, in the same realm, don't share your information online, people. Stick with iRacing, where they require you to run your name on iRacing to be your actual name that's on your credit card and everything. So,
yeah, and they also have like a 4-digit PIN that they require. So, I mean, it is unique to you and them, which from what I'm gathering, the scammers here don't require a 4-digit PIN, which should be your red flag to begin with if you are an iRacing user.
Yeah. So, if you are an iRacing user and you get messages from these guys, just go ahead and ignore them and maybe let iRacing know that if they're continuing to do this.
I'm sure they would appreciate it.
Yeah, and remember that you should only be making iRacing purchases through the
iRacing itself. Yeah.
Yeah. The www.iRacing.com website, the members.iRacing.com website, or it's the Steam store.
And there we have it.
And there we have
that. That's the big piece of news for the night.
Yeah. Well,
save your money, folks.
Yeah. It's near the holidays, so.
Yeah, save your money.
All right, moving on from iRacing. Willie, do you want to talk about this one?
The Assetto Corsa?
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's coming soon. And what I find actually interesting about this, because this actually happened this past weekend, was the Super Trofeo World Finals. So I was reading a little bit about this as it was happening, but I didn't know this particular thing was going on. So they updated, or they're releasing the updated Super Trofeo Lamborghini Evo 2 mm-hmm. into the game. And a cool thing that they did for anybody who attended the World Finals, actually, is that they had one driver go out there and lay down a time on the virtual world with a new car. And then the competition throughout the weekend was any fan who came up there was to try to be or beat the driver's time, if not get as close as you can, and whoever had the top time got a personal tour around the track by the driver who set the time to beat, which I mm-hmm. think is a pretty cool, fun thing to do. I mean, if it's a situation where you didn't have to pay any money to go up there, go yeah. for it, because what else have you got to lose outside yeah. of a few minutes of your time, and you're probably going to have fun trying anyway.
Yeah, this is at Misano, correct?
Yeah, Misano. But yeah, this is a cool little thing. And see, when did it say the game or cars coming out to the game here?
Because I think it was. I don't believe they've actually given us a date, but everyone's speculating that it will come with the console's next gen release.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, next gen release on February 24. So there it was.
Yeah, 24, 2024, or not 2024, 2022.
Man, that's a long way out.
It's 3-4 months.
Well, 2024, that's a long way out.
Yeah, no, it's 2022.
Had a rough week, have you been?
I have, but anyway, yeah, so I'm looking forward to this, obviously.
Yeah, it's gonna be
just because it's been a while. It's been a couple of months since we had any new contact in the ACs. Content on ACC. Even though if we do have to wait a little bit longer, I'm looking forward to something new.
I was gonna say, I think it'd be worth it.
Oh yeah,
because that game is just brilliant, hands down.
It really is, and I really should play it more often, like I usually say on this show. But
yeah, I do that too.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on from that. So we haven't talked about Wreckfest in a while, Gooby. At least, I don't think we, in particular, have talked about Wreckfest in a while.
We haven't, and actually, I have not even touched it in a very, very long time, actually. It just, the novelty of it wore off on me quickly, I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started playing it again on PC, and then I got distracted by, a set of Corsa and AMS2 and Race Room, so.
And other racing games.
Yes. So, we're talking about Wreckfest this week because they recently announced that their latest DLC, the Wreckfest Rally Trophy, which actually serves as celebrating the 20th anniversary of Bugbear Entertainment's first game, which was of the same name, Rally Trophy.
Right.
Yeah. It was released on PC in 2001. When I was 10.
You was 10?
Yeah, I was 10 in 2001.
I was 13.
Actually was a serious rival to the likes of V Rally and Colin McRae Rally.
Yeah, I think I remember playing a demo for that.
Yeah.
I don't think I actually played the game itself.
Yeah, it evidently had all of the major features that you want out of a game. Classic rally cars, co-driver, advanced damage model, which... Given that it's Bugbear, it's probably the damage model that eventually became Wreckfest.
And yeah, and actually, they were the leading edge for that damage model to begin with.
Yeah.
So,
like, the first Bugbear game that I played was Flatout. One of the Flatouts. I don't remember which one.
Yeah, but I remember that.
The my inner child when I was 15 enjoyed the novelty of being able to throw your driver out of the car.
Yeah, exactly. Same.
Yeah.
Same. I mean, for gosh sake, they had a mini game in there that was called Darts that required you to eject your driver and hit some sort of section out of the board.
Mm-hmm. There was also the high jump.
That sounds brutal now.
Yeah. Looking for a date. I'm not seeing one. Because it's available now, I believe. Yes. And Wreckfest's November tournament update, you can play a stage and car originally inspired by Rally Trophy. Following up on the recent Carmageddon content, it includes a new version of an original Rally Trophy special stage set in the Russian countryside. And, most importantly, it's free to all players.
Yeah, and I think it's just a single stage that's available, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But by the looks of it, they have a 6-minute route and online multiplayer, so I wonder how they measure 6 minutes. That has to be average.
Yeah.
Because you know some people are going to get under 6 minutes.
It's around 6 minutes. Probably around 6 minutes.
So.
Yeah. The tournament will be updated to include the Civic Rally Trophy Challenge and what is essentially the Ford Escort RS.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, they get around by making stuff look like the actual thing, but they don't name it what
different
it is.
Names, all that kind of stuff.
Similar to what Grand Theft Auto does for all their games.
Yeah.
Or all their cars. You know, you look at it, it's like, oh, it's a Venom. Oh, that's clearly a Viper, but it says Venom.
Mm-hmm. Or, that's a Dukes. That's clearly a Charger, but it's a Dukes.
Yeah. Or, it's a Coquette. You mean Corvette? No, Coquette.
No, Coquette. We're getting to the mind limit of GTA knowledge here.
Yes.
But anyway, I'm interested in checking this out maybe after the show tonight.
Yeah.
Because it looks like fun.
You'll have to let me know how it is.
Yeah, and I enjoy rally racing as much as the next person.
Which, by the way, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but on WRC 10, they finally fixed that crash.
Oh, they did?
Kept crashing on my career mode, so I was able to produce or continue on with it.
Mm-hmm.
I find that game really hard to put down right now. I really do. It's a huge step up from what their games have been from the past. Mm-hmm.
Have you gotten to mess with the livery editor yet?
I did, and I personally do not like it. So
is it because you're probably like me, where we're too used to the Forza and
Retro,
or
that has a big part to do with it, but the other big part is that it's just clunky. You know, I mean, whenever you got to a certain shape, you could literally, without having to change any menus or page over to any other menus, you could do everything right there on the controller. You can make the size of it. You can change its y-axis, its vertical or its horizontal axis, its vertical axis, slant it, make it as big as you want, make it as small as you want, group. You could do it all right there. On this one, if you want to change the size, the angle, the shape, you literally have to page over and only use like 2 or 3 different controls on each one. And it's incredibly frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just to set one logo, just a simple square, say you want it real small and everything, you have to page through 3 different menus before you can finally set it, as opposed to what Forza was. It's like clink, clink, bam, done.
Mm-hmm.
Me, personally, I just colored the whole car one particular color and then put a Volkswagen logo and said, done.
Apparently, if we backtrack a little bit, the livery editor on NASCAR 21 Ignition is actually pretty decent, from what I understand.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Anyway, since we're talking about livery editors, let's go ahead and discuss the next one. Gran Turismo 7. Have you heard about Gran Turismo 7, Lewis?
Let me see. I might have. Yeah, it rings a few bells.
Yeah, it's not like we've been talking about it for a year or anything.
Yeah, one of the biggest sim racing franchises in all history. I might have heard of it.
Yeah. So as we're getting closer and closer to the launch of GT7, I think it's roughly 15 weeks, something along those lines.
I think it's about 17 weeks. I think is what I read recently.
Yes, it is 17 weeks. Okay. I need to get a calendar. Anyway, they've been doing...
It's 2024, according to you.
they've been doing these behind-the-scenes videos showing off some of the new things that we're going to see in Gran Turismo 7 before launch. And the newest one that we're going to talk about is the livery section. So, and I didn't realize this before. Apparently, Gran Turismo Sport was the first of the GT series to actually have a livery editor.
Yeah.
I always, either I learned that and forgot it, or this is actually the first time I'm hearing it. And if it is, I'm impressed, because that was heck of a showing for your first livery editor.
Yeah, it was. And
did everything the Forces could do? Did it look a little bit better in some cases?
Yeah, and what caught my eye when reading about this is that apparently they're going to have a bunch more tweaks that are going to make it more streamlined and bring in more features. So if that's the case, it makes me scared for turn 10 to see what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well,
if I'm honest.
Yeah. I suspect since we've seen some changes to the livery editor coming into Forza Horizon 5, which early access begins tomorrow on that, by the way. Gonna try to stream something for once.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, I know.
Meantime, I'll be working.
Yeah. Sorry, I just happened to have that day off.
Hey, I get to be working on the launch site of the fastest vehicle in the world, okay?
So. Yeah. So, for those who aren't in our chat, which is, you know, everyone, Mr. Satterley sent us all a picture of the SpaceX rocket that just happened to be rolling past him at his place of employment.
Yeah, it's actually the core stage for Falcon 9 rocket.
Yeah.
So, currently, or that particular job site, actually, I was between the vehicle assembly building and the launch pads. SpaceX has 39A, which, if anybody goes on Google Maps, if you look at the two launch complexes there, it is the one that is on the south side, or the one that is closest to the BAB. BAB is vehicle assembly building, for anybody who doesn't know space lingo. But yeah, so tomorrow I'll be going to 39B, which will be the launch site for the Artemis rocket, which is supposed to be NASA's new thing that they're going to use to take to the moon and Mars. So,
yeah. Very fancy. Well,
yeah.
Okay. getting back to sim racing, this isn't a space.
Yeah, that was out of regulator time there. So,
yeah. So, obviously, the video didn't like go into depth about the. If there's going to be UI changes or things like that. But
the video that was released, unfortunately, was kind of a letdown. But, I mean, it was also still kind of cool to see... what's his name? Sorry.
Yamachi?
I can never...
Yamachi?
Yeah, I always butcher his name, so I don't want to say it if I'm not going to say it right. But anyway, it just gives his opinion on what he thinks of the livery editor, how he's amazed by it, which, I mean, it's great to hear his perspective at it, but at the same time, you're mentioning something for the next game, which is liveries, that it's coming. I'd like to hear details, not so much your opinion. Don't get me wrong, I mean, it's great to hear his opinion.
And it's also cool to hear that apparently GT users have created several million liveries since launch in 2017.
Yeah, because what was it? In,
2017.
I was going to say in 19, it was reported, March of 2019, it was reported that there had been 51 million liveries uploaded.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are 2.5 years later, and somebody made a guesstimation that it's probably close to 150 million by now, which that is
something like that.
A stunning number. So it actually makes me wonder, out of all of Turn 10's livery editor thing that you can go out there and buy liveries, it makes me wonder how many across all their games on all platforms have they created.
That would be interesting.
That would be a fun number. It's got to be close to, well, if it's this case for this game, I would imagine it's got to be close to 1 billion.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can reach out to my Turn 10 contacts and see if they have that kind of number.
That would be fantastic to hear, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, GT7. So yeah, obviously they have a really good starting point with that GT Sport livery editor. So they really don't need to change that much. I mean,
well, they said they were making it more streamlined, so I don't think it's so much
yeah, they're making more streamlined. Apparently, there's going to be even more file size allowances for the SVG uploader, which is, if you're not familiar with the way Gran Turismo Sports livery editor worked, you can literally upload a logo onto a website and get it in game.
Which
is a huge oversimplification of the process, but that's basically what it is.
It was an oversimplification of the process, made things a lot more easier, mm-hmm. I would say.
And frankly, as a race organizer on Forza, I covet that ability.
Yeah, because in that case, because we have, or you have official logos inside of a situation mm-hmm. like Tora, you can make it to where it's a single logo or layer, but as opposed to using up some layers that you're limited to use on the side of a vehicle anyway.
Yeah. And you can...
At the same time, whenever I see that it's just a single layer that you can upload an image, it kind of takes away the
it
time.
It takes away the artistry, yeah. I understand that part. But at the same time, it would make the racing side of it so much easier. And I've had several discussions with the guys at like PTG, if you're familiar with the Forza community scene, about why that would be important and how they feel about it. But
yeah,
it's an ongoing discussion that I don't really want to get into here because, you know, we're running semi short on time. The couple other things that was that do know that the Alpine the correct. So we're getting the Alpine A220 and both versions of the Super
Because, for instance, I know too many people that will call the Mazda 787B the 787B.
Yeah.
So, and for instance, Porsche 962, I know a lot of our English friends call it the 962. Yeah. So, it's potato potato. I don't think you would have been right or wrong on that. By the way, I kind of psyched myself up and let myself down and then re-psyched myself up again when I saw that car. So, when I first saw it, because it looks an awful lot like a Matra on that, mm-hmm. and the French blue or French racing blue on there just threw me off. So I was like, oh, we get a Matra. Oh, no, it's not a Matra. Wait, it's an Alpine A220. That's freaking awesome. Yeah. That's literally it's like, hey, oh, hey.
Apparently, if you also look in the background of the video, you can see some potential tracks that might be there. But Polyphony in the airplane pretty close to the chest when it comes to that kind of thing. But
they usually always do with that.
Yeah. I'm sure that whenever we get closer to launch, we'll get a lot more of these videos and a lot more information.
Well, what was it? I was reading on that. Apparently this is the fourth one of these videos in 2 weeks.
Something like that.
So if that's the case, which they do mention on the article that I read it on, and that they keep on going at this rate until release, you're going to be entertained until you finally get the game. And if, unfortunately, if it doesn't live up to the hype they're setting themselves up for, or potentially setting themselves up for, yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah.
Unfortunately, at this point, Forza Motorsport and GT7 are kind of in the same boat, where it's their communities, respective communities, have been waiting so long that the bar is set pretty high.
Unfortunately for the likes of Polyphony, they tend to be incredibly thorough. I mean, not saying that they're perfect, but mm-hmm. they usually tend to be incredibly thorough. And I think that's the benefit you get for having games released in 5 to 8 year periods as opposed to every other year.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Similar situation now to where with Forza, or the new Forza that's coming out, what are we up to, 8, 7?
I mean, technically...
8?
It's technically 8, but they're calling it Forza Motorsport instead of Forza Motorsports.
Yeah, so they're rebooting it.
It's a rebrand reboot.
Yeah. So at the same time,
reboot, but
with how many years it's been since 7 came out, if they don't get this one right away, everybody's going to look at them like, then what did you need the extra time for?
Yeah.
So
you literally can't even buy 7 anymore.
Yeah, so that's saying something.
Yeah. I mean, digitally you can't buy it. You can buy physical copies, but you physically you are not allowed to buy a digital copy anymore because of rights issues, essentially.
Well, then there you go.
Yeah.
So, and what was it? Forza Motorsport 1. I think we were all the way into the first year of Forza Motorsport 4 when they stopped supporting online play with that, and that was with an older generation console.
Mm-hmm. I believe Motorsport 4 online is still available.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. But anyway, we are running short on time, so let's go ahead and jump down to esports roundup of the week.
We could do that.
Esports roundup of the week.
Esports roundup of the week.
Yeah. You want to go ahead and get us started, Louie?
F1 Esport Pro Championship. We could do this one, and oh my goodness me, he wrote a novel for that one, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And he warned me too. The second event.
We appreciate you, Jordan. Just saying that.
Actually, I love it when he gives the long, detailed ones.
Oh yeah.
The second event of the 2021 F1 Esports Series took place last week on Wednesday and Thursday at Silverstone, Monza, and Spa. And I think I covered the first one of these two. In Wednesday's race at Silverstone, Fredrik Rasmussen, let me pronounce his name correctly, would claim pole position in the special white-liveried Red Bull, which that car does look fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
With championship leader Jarno Opmeer way down in 16th place on the grid, Rasmussen would hold the lead on lap 1 and lead after the pit stops, but Mercedes' Dani Moreno would challenge him and take the lead away shortly after. Rasmussen would stalk Moreno until the last lap of the race, when the bad exit onto the hangar straight would see Moreno vulnerable to the DRS-assisted Rasmussen. There was no defense possible for Moreno, who would have to simply watch as Rasmussen would blow by him like a cheap cigar. Anyways, would swoop to take the lead with just 3 quarters remaining. Rasmussen would cross the line to take his first victory of the season, with Moreno just holding on to second place ahead of the Aston Martin of Lucas Blakely. Meanwhile, further back, Opmeer would salvage just 2 points after his poor grid spot. Jarno would have the opportunity. Wow. We love you, Jordan.
And yeah, just continue.
And there you go. Ben covered what you had in parentheses there. to bounce back later in the evening. With the field moving on to Monza for the second race of the event, Opmeer would line up on pole position and would hold the lead, with the field miraculously managing to negotiate the first chicane without issue. The race would get interesting at the start of lap 4. Red Bull's Marcel Kiefer would move past Opmeer to take the lead on the start-finish straight. But out of nowhere, McLaren's Barry Bormann would breeze past the pair of them to take the lead for himself. He was one of only 2 drivers to start the race on soft tires, as opposed to the standard medium tire start. Race strategy would play a major role in the race. Kiefer and a majority of the field opted for an early pit stop after lap 6, whereas the leaders Bormann and Opmeer stayed out longer. This wouldn't pay off for the latter two, with Opmeer 10th and Bormann 11th after the pit stop, while Kiefer resumed the lead. Opmeer's fresher tires would allow him to move up into the podium spots with a lap and a half remaining, with Red Bull's Rasmussen now trying to play the role of Kiefer's rear gunner to hold off Opmeer from spoiling the Red Bull 1-2. Opmeer and Rasmussen would battle side-by-side on the front stretch to start the final lap, but whilst they squabbled, Dani Moreno took the pair of them to move into P2 to add insult to injury for Red Bull. Rasmussen would then be pitched into a half-spin at the first chicane that would drop him down to 8th place at the flag. Yikes. Mercifully, Kiefer was too far ahead to be caught by the Mercedes duo of Moreno and Opmeer. He would cross the line to take the victory at Monza, with Moreno and Opmeer second and third, respectively. And that was just race number 2.
Mm-hmm.
The final race of the event would take place on Spa or at Spa on Thursday. David Tanizza would take pole position for Ferrari. Yay, go for Tifosi there. With Otmir struggling down in 14th once again. The race itself would start wet, but the interesting thing would be that half of the field would start on full wets and half on intermediates. The wet runners had an edge at the start, with Rasmussen on enters falling down from second on the grid to the back end of the top 10 in the early laps. However, at the halfway point, the wet tire runners would pit for intermediates. With no pit stop required in wet conditions, the driver who started on intermediates now had a massive advantage, with Rasmussen reassuming the lead. Rasmussen would go on to comfortably take victory by almost 7 seconds, with his intermediate tire gamble well and truly paying off after it was looking sketchy at the start. The battle for second, third, and fourth will well and truly kick off on the final lap, with the second Red Bull of Marcel Kiefer trying to hold off both Jarno Otmir, who had started on the enters, and former leader Tonizia, who had fresher enters after leaving or having started on the wets. Otmir would move past Kiefer at Lacombe, with Tonizia following him through later on in the lap. At the final corner, Otmir would cross the line to take superb second place after starting 14th. That is impressive, with Tonizia settling for third and having led early on from pole position. With half the season now in the books, Mercedes' Jarno Otmir continues to lead the way in the championship standings in his quest to defend his title. The gap between himself and second place Lucas Blakely for Aston Martin has remained exactly the same as it was in the first three races. 14 points separate them. With Frederik Rasmussen's wins at Silverstone and Spa moving him up to third place in the points and a constructor's title, Mercedes and Red Bull are on dead even soil. The next round of the 2021 FIE Sports Pro Championship will take place on the 24th and 25th of November at Portimao and Zandvoort and Kota.
That was a mouthful.
It was, but yes. I love it. So that is in 3 weeks' time. So Thanksgiving week, by the looks of it.
Yep.
That's when that one will be happening, and on Thanksgiving Day for us.
Yes. All right.
So by the looks of it, we're going to be covering those as well.
Probably.
on our December 2nd show.
Sorry, I had the radio. For our last little piece of esports roundup of the week news, we're going to talk about the eNASCAR Contender iRacing Series. For those who aren't familiar, this is a series that pits the bottom drivers from the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series against 20 other drivers who have worked their way up and qualified to get into this series. This, with the overall goal of this series, is to determine drivers who will be eligible for the Coke Series next year. This series got underway on Tuesday night with the number 5 of Nicholas Shelton dominating the night pretty much up until the final green-white checker restart attempt. Shelton and the number 10 of Caden Honeycutt made contact coming to get the white flag, opening the door for the number 42 of Parker Retzlaff to leave his way. Their iRacing series takes place next Tuesday at Homestead Miami Speedway. So, that was a long show.
Well, you certainly had a lot less to talk about.
Yes, I did. It's okay. I figured it all balances out.
It does.
Just talking.
It does.
But anyway, so that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening. Matt and Jordan will be back next week. Any final words of wisdom, Louie?
Just my usual. Eat more tacos. Yeah.
Yes.
They're healthy for you, too.
Yes. If you put enough toppings on it, it's basically a salad.
Actually, yeah, pretty much, because you get your red meat in there, you get your greens, you get your, basically anything. And if you have a glass of milk with it, you get your dairy in there. And it keeps down on the heartburn.
Well, we started this podcast talking about food, and now we'll end it with such. Thank you all for listening. Be safe out there. Wear your mask. And, hey, get a vaccine. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.